Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the second reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians, we have one of Paul's best pastoral letters. Now, we have to appreciate this Christian community in Philippi. It was established by Paul himself in approximately the year 50 AD. And what made this Christian community so special is that it was the first one in Europe. Prior to Philippi, Paul was establishing Christian communities throughout Asia, primarily in present-day Turkey. Yet now, he crosses the Aegean in 50 AD and established this Christian community in Philippi. And so Paul knows these people very well. He has friendships with many of them. And so 4 years later, in approximately 54 AD, Paul now writes this letter to the people of Philippi to encourage them to persevere in their faith. Now, what is so amazing about this letter is Paul is writing it while in prison in Ephesus. Paul has been arrested in Ephesus because he is practicing his faith. He is publicly proclaiming that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior, rather than Caesar Augustus. Paul is arrested because Christianity is an outlawed religion of the state of Rome, and therefore anyone who publicly practices it will be arrested. So Paul now is sitting in prison, yet he turns his attention not to himself inwardly, but instead he looks towards this young Christian community in Philippi, and he writes this letter to motivate them and inspire them to keep the faith. Now you would think that if anyone needed encouragement, it would be Paul while sitting in prison. Yet from this one experience, we begin to see the strength and the spirituality of Paul. The second reading that we have for this weekend is Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. In this small little passage, Paul essentially summarizes God's plan of salvation. Now, when St. Francis was meditating and reflecting upon this scripture passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians, St. Francis described it as God's descending love into this world. Now, when you read that scripture passage and think about that, how true it rings. God is descending his love into this world. It begins with Jesus descending from heaven and entering this world. He does so because of love for us and a love to save us. And so already we see that love descending. Now Jesus is born into this world just like each and every one of us, as an infant, vulnerable, defenseless, depending upon his parents for life itself. Yet that love doesn't stop there. It continues to descend. The very beginning of Jesus' ministry, Jesus enters into the cold, muddy waters of the Jordan River to be baptized by John the Baptist. And yet the love of God does not stop there. It continues to descend into the world. Throughout Jesus' ministry, he ministers to the poor, the sick, the blind, the lame. He cures them. He eats meals with tax collectors and prostitutes. He teaches them. He forgives sins. And yet the love of God does not stop there. It continues to descend into the world. As Jesus mounts the cross, we see God's love at its perfection. The descending love of God even goes down to the darkest reaches of death itself. Even after Jesus rises from the dead and ascends back into heaven, His love continues now to descend into our lives. The greatest way that we see this manifested in our own day and age, in our own life, is in the Eucharist. Every time we gather for Mass, every time we eat the body and drink the blood, we now participate in that descending love of God. Now that love enters into our lives. St. Francis, again, when reflecting upon this scripture passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians, noted that a critical component of God's descending love in this world was humility. Jesus was the quintessential example of humility. And that humility started first with Jesus coming down from heaven and entering into this world. Notice now, how does Jesus enter into this world? Is he born into an aristocratic or a royal family? Is he born into a very wealthy family? No. Instead, Jesus is born into a very humble and poor family. Yet that humility doesn't stop there. It continues on. As Jesus begins his ministry, he stands shoulder to shoulder with the other sinners in the Jordan River, awaiting a baptism of repentance from John the Baptist. Now, does Jesus really need this baptism? No, not at all. Jesus was sinless. He was the Son of God. Yet, he subjected himself to this humiliating act so as to gain solidarity with us. Yet that humility continued with Jesus. Throughout his whole ministry, he was constantly associating himself with the marginalized in society, the sick, the sinners, tax collectors, the prostitutes. He was seen publicly with them, teaching them in the marketplace. He would have meals with them, and he was criticized by the Pharisees and the Sadducees for that. Yet that humility continued as Jesus mounted the cross. Now realize, the crucifixion was an incredibly painful death, and yet at the same time, it was a very embarrassing death sentence. The crucifixion was reserved for only criminals. And with full knowledge of this, Jesus still climbs upon the cross, dying a very embarrassing and humiliating death so as to save the world. And so you say to yourself, okay, how does this pertain to me? Well, I think the best way for us to continue to participate in God's descending love in this world is to first practice humility. That's the first step. Now remember, humility, the word comes from the Latin root word humus, which means ground. A person that practices humility is a person that is grounded in who they are and who they are in relationship with God. Now realize, an important key to practicing humility is simply being honest with ourselves. Yes, we have talents and strengths and skills and abilities, yet we have to honestly look at ourselves and also see our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our insecurities or idiosyncrasies. We have to recognize that we have good things as well as bad things in our life. Yet, what we also have to understand and come to know is that that descending love of God cuts through all those weaknesses and shortcomings and insecurities and enters into our heart, our mind, and our soul and reassures us that God accepts us for who we are and loves us nonetheless, despite our insecurities or shortcomings. Friends, once we understand that and truly believe it with all our heart, then we can begin to accept ourselves for who we are and begin to love ourselves. If God can accept and love us, then we must be able to accept and love ourselves. Now, this is very, very important. Why? Because when we practice humility, we develop a great self-awareness such that we come to know the person we do not have to be, and instead, we come to know the person that God wants us to be. I'll say that one more time because this is very important for us to understand. When we practice humility, we develop a great self-awareness to the extent that which we come to know the person we do not have to be, and instead we come to know the person that God wants us to be. And when that happens, then we completely open ourselves up. We open our heart and our mind and our soul up so that now that descending love of God completely fills us up. Better yet, not only does it fill us up, but we spill over with that descending love of God. And now that love touches every person that we come in contact with in this world so that all people can come to know the love of God through us. And now we become living extensions of God's descending love in this world. Let me give you a great example of what I'm talking about. Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was once asked by a reporter, "If you look at the work you do around the world, or even just in the city of Calcutta, you help only a small fraction of the population that is poor, sick, homeless, or dying. Do you ever feel that you are not successful?" Mother Teresa looked at the reporter and she said, "God does not want me to be successful. He wants me to be faithful." Humility was a hallmark of Mother Teresa and her ministry. Through that humility, she developed a great self-awareness of who she was and the person that God wanted her to be, rather than the person that the world wanted her to be. And in doing so, she opened herself up completely to receive that descending love of God. And in doing so, it was that love that allowed her to descend into pain and poverty and loneliness and death to bring care and compassion to all those people that she came into contact with. And in doing so, Mother Teresa became a living extension of God's descending love in this world. My friends, the same thing can happen to us too. But what we must do is first practice humility. Because with humility, again, we develop that great self-awareness of who God wants us to be, rather than the person that our world or our culture or society tells us to be. So often our world or our culture tells us who we should be, how we should think, what we should value. But humility, through that great self-awareness, now gives us the insight such that now we can be the person that God wants us to be. And in doing so, like Mother Teresa, now we open ourselves up completely to receive fully that descending love of God, so that now it fills us up and flows over us to the extent that now we can help spread God's descending love in this world to all those people that we come into contact with. We too can descend into loneliness, pain, poverty, and suffering in this world to bring God's love to those people. And in doing so, we, like Jesus and like Mother Teresa, can be living extensions of that descending love of God throughout the world. And may the peace and the mercy of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.